Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
The scripture for this morning comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain for some days. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay. I need you to put your imagination hats on. Let's go back to middle school when the emotions were high and we were figuring out our places in the world. At lunch, we stayed where we knew we belonged. The popular kids sat with the popular kids. The athletes sat with the athletes. The smart kids sat with the smart kids. And every once in a while, something interesting would happen. We would watch that somebody sit with someone else. So many thoughts and questions could go through our head. What in the world are they doing over there? They broke the unspoken rule. Do not associate with those outside your group. This somebody who broke group rules rarely ever existed. No one dared break societal expectations. Wherever we go or who we associate with, these lunch tables for middle school still exist. We associate with those we already know. Why would we leave our nets of safety to embrace others? This means risking our sense of belonging and status within society. The scary truth is, God often calls people to be the somebody, the person who will get up from the lunch table to sit with someone else. In Acts 10, 44 through 48, Peter becomes the somebody that welcomes Gentiles into the Christian faith. Where we arrive in Acts is a key essential turning point in the Christian narrative. Up until this point, the followers of Jesus were mainly Jewish. Jews viewed Gentiles as unclean and strictly off limits. They weren't to associate with them. Jewish people kept to their own lunch tables. By the interaction between Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, everything was turned upside down. Cornelius, a household owner, Roman soldier, and God-fearing man, receives a vision from the Lord, telling him to seek Peter at once. With no recorded hesitation, Cornelius sends his servants to get Peter. Peter also receives a vision to eat unclean food. Peter hesitates and refuses. The voice in his vision replies, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Not only did he hear it once, but three times. While Cornelius, the Gentile, did not hesitate for 1 second, Peter needed to hear the vision three times. What might be considered a conversion of Cornelius can also be labeled the conversion of Peter on his own development into sitting at a Gentile lunch table. Before Cornelius, Peter would have turned a blind eye to Gentiles, following Jewish customs of the time. Now, with a new vision from God, he gets a new message. God shows no partiality to the barriers humans put up. In his speech to Cornelius and his household, Peter illustrates his transformation and understanding. He verbally recognizes Jewish custom and the divide between Jews and Gentiles. Peter exclaims, "But God has shown me I shouldn't call anyone impure or unclean." Overnight, standards and expectations for Jews towards Gentiles were dissolved. Their lunch table groups were no more. In Acts 10, 44 through 48, we hear the parting words of Peter. He turned to his surprised Jewish believers and claimed, "No one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water." Or in other words, no one can prevent us from having fellowship with them. The Gentiles, those pushed aside and ignored, are now included at the table. Many of us might like to believe we would be in the role of Cornelius, the one who eagerly and without a doubt follows the call from God. Yet, I imagine many of us are in the footsteps of Peter. This disciple was now placed in a turning point from the Lord. I can only wonder how hard it must have been. The church was growing in Jerusalem to Jewish populations, but God pushed Peter to do something almost unimaginable. God desired Peter to leave behind Jewish customs that kept him pure and holy in his faith tradition. Sitting at a different lunch table literally meant he would be left behind. Welcoming an outsider threatened his status among others and also meant a change of tradition. Yet, this call is not unheard of in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, God has issued the same call through different contexts. Jonah was called to preach the Assyrian capital, requiring him to repent of their wickedness. Jonah's reluctance led him to take the long way around to get there. Jesus embraced his others. Whether it was Gentiles or women, he pushed back against societal customs, including meeting a Samaritan woman at a well. No matter what the situation, the call was the same. Look over your barriers that prevent you from one another. If Jonah had never gone to Nineveh, they would have never repented. If Jesus never welcomed Gentiles or women, we wouldn't have followed in his footsteps. If Peter had never listened to Cornelius, Gentiles, which is us, might have never been welcomed into the church. By welcoming Cornelius and his household, Peter began a chain of events that changed the course of history. The Council of Jerusalem came together, officially welcoming Gentiles into the faith, clarifying they didn't have to become a Jew to follow Jesus. This new ministry by Peter meant seeing Gentiles as brothers and sisters. This redeeming point of transformation allowed him to welcome those deemed unclean. Gentiles were now allowed at lunch tables. The power and call of inclusion couldn't be stopped by the leader of the disciples, Jesus' best friend. Like Peter, I've had my own Corneliuses, those outside my perspective and perception of God. And growing up, I stayed where I knew it was safe. But God put me in situations exactly like Peter to be that somebody. I heard stories of what exclusion and hurt in the church really felt like. What it meant to be at a different lunch table, outside the body of Christ. How often do we forget about those outside our comfort zones? How often do we forget about the bond that unites us all? Often, we can disregard those outside our chosen church circles and families without a second glance, looking at others as if they're another person. Why should we care? They are unclean and have nothing to do with us. Like Peter, we are hesitant to welcome and consider outsiders. Our Gentiles don't belong here. This appears outside the church as well, into how we interact with others. Society teaches us about staying in our small bubbles, valuing a sense of self over community. We are pressured to focus on our needs and wants alone, ignoring those of others. Furthermore, welcoming unfamiliar faces and unfamiliar people creates a sense of uncertainty. We have no idea what they'll be like or how they'll affect the system we already have established. It's just easier to keep to ourselves, creating a sense of safety and avoiding uncertainty altogether. Maybe, just maybe, we need to take a look back on what community really means. Is community only for those that act like us, talk like us, or think like us? Or is it a commitment to a group of believers, washing away every barrier, expectations, hate, shame, judgment, standards, or even our own selves? Letting go of any custom that would prevent us from welcoming someone else equally made in the image of God. While we might do whatever it takes to push them away, ignorance and exclusion aren't our best options. God's call for all is wider than our desire to push others away. Being the part of the body of Christ means we are all one flesh, one body, one spirit. Thus, when God puts us in the exact same footsteps of Peter, we can embrace the other. It will be difficult, with feelings of hesitation and possibly disagreement from those around us. However, church, we follow the God of Peter, Jesus, and the God of Jonah, not societal customs or standards in society. I think this is where more turning points will come. From becoming that somebody, we get up from the lunch table to sit with someone different from us. Peter had the opportunity to walk away, but he did it. He welcomed those God had called him to embrace. Peter chooses to understand his vision, stepping over dividers, and welcomes those considered unclean. Like I said before, his relationship with Cornelius changed the course of history. The Holy Spirit carried the church outside the city of Jerusalem, the various types of outsiders, every man-made barrier put up, God knocked down. Instead of turning to his fellow Jews and agreeing in shock, Peter exclaimed, "Who can withhold the water? Who can get between faith in Christ and a further relationship with God?" This is where Peter becomes that somebody. With some hesitation, he stepped over Jewish customs, welcoming Cornelius and his household and to the body of Christ. Turning points are going to come our way as well. It could be a small act, such as sitting with someone else, introducing yourself, or even a simple conversation. It might be a larger conviction where others might snicker or question your actions on reaching out to someone else, showing up when no one else will. Turning points require us to look beyond our perceptions and assumptions, taking a step forward towards another human, not someone with a label, but another individual. Truly seeing them as someone else. Being that somebody requires us to get out of our comfort zones and looking past our assumptions of others, suspending judgment to make connections. It means allowing ourselves to feel uncertainty, uncomfortable, and vulnerable to create true belonging for someone else. Temporary discomfort allows for moments of power and change. So, church, will we get outside our comfort zones of safety and step into uncertainty? Will we be that somebody?